As you recall, last week, we had two readings which included the Great Commandment. The first one, Moses gives the Great Commandment to the people, and in the Gospel, Jesus refers to the Great Commandment. And I pointed out how many times we have heard that Great Commandment, again and again and again. And we never really questioned, why didn't God simply say, love God completely? Short, sweet, to the point, but he didn't. The commandment goes, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, your whole strength. It really goes into detail of how we are called to love God. And we don't probably think about that, but I went over all the four different ways, which really give us a better insight as to the demands of that commandment, how deep it goes, and that every single component of our being is supposed to be brought in when it comes to the love of God. Nothing is accepted. Everything is part of that law. And so we're supposed to bring it all together. Today we have, again, two familiar stories. We've heard them again and again. The first one's about the poor widow who is thinking she's going to die because she's running out of food during this drought. And in the gospel reading, we have a poor widow who puts two small coins in the temple collection. And again, what do we make of it? Why a widow? Even though we know from the Old Testament the people were called to take care of widows and orphans in a particular way. Although in this particular case, this widow is not even Jewish. She's a pagan. So there's kind of a little bit of a pinprick in that, because Elijah the prophet doesn't go to, and there were plenty of Jewish widows that needed help, but he goes to a pagan widow and helps her. And if we look at the whole story of salvation, it makes sense, because even to Abraham, God says, through you all people will come to the one true God, meaning not only Jews, but pagans, Gentiles as well. And here's an illustration of it. Elijah goes to a poor widow, a pagan, and takes care of her for a year. So we're seeing the love of God that knows no bounds, has no boundaries. He will love everyone and give to each of us what we need so that we can be healthy as his disciples. And then, of course, we have this, again, beautiful reading from the gospel where Jesus points out this widow who puts two small coins in the treasury, and he says that she's given everything. In a sense, she's given her future away. Whereas all these other people, they gave a lot of money, yeah, but they had a lot left. So here's this woman, and we think, what is she doing? Does God want someone like that to put everything on the table for God? And is it common sense? Does it make sense? Well, it does, because this woman had trust in God. Clearly, she had trust in God. And I wonder if Jesus knew this widow, knew her. He doesn't name her. There again, we don't know what this woman's name. Maybe he did know her name. Maybe he did know about her widowhood. And so he was a bit familiar when she came in. We don't know that. But I think he must have had some knowledge to be able to say, this poor widow gave all that she had. How did she know? How did Jesus know that she gave all that she had? Well, maybe, again, he knew her. But she gave all that she had. That's the focus of the gospel. And it should be shocking to us. It should upset us. It should make us squirm. Because really, we're more like those Pharisees, right? You know, we're not giving our future away. We're not taking everything we have and giving it to God. And what does our culture say? Take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to do it. Prepare for whatever's going to happen. Get insurance so that you'll be able to be in a nice retirement community until you die. Put money away in IRAs, et cetera, et cetera. And we hear that, it's, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. We've got to be clever about the future. Well, this widow didn't have any of that. She depended on others. Maybe she had a place to stay. Maybe she knew she could get a meal from, I don't know, maybe children or friends. But she gave it all. So just for a minute, imagine yourself giving it all to the Lord. It makes me uncomfortable, right? You know, I want to be in control. I want to know what I do with my money. I want to be charitable, and I think I am, but I'm in control of it. I give money here, I give money there, I decide who gets it. But here this poor widow is giving it all over to the treasury at the temple, probably not understanding exactly where it all goes to, but she had trust in God, she had faith in God. In other words, she really followed the great commandment, didn't she? She really followed the great commandment because she gave all. She loved God with her whole heart, her whole soul, her whole mind, her whole strength, her whole bank account. She loved God completely. And so Jesus rightly points her out, saying, there is a holy person. There is a trusting person. There is a faithful person. And hold yourself accountable to this example of holiness. And of course, the disciples were a little bit upset, but I'm thinking, well, didn't they already give up everything to follow Jesus? They did. So they were kind of doing what the widow did, but they still were challenged. They still were shocked. They probably said, well, I think, Jesus, you should have said to her, don't give your money away, because who's going to take care of you? But he didn't. Jesus didn't intervene. He let her do that. And isn't that true with us? Jesus lets us do what we want to do. He doesn't get in the way of whatever we do. If we're selfish, he doesn't make us unselfish. If we're unfaithful or if we're not trusting, he doesn't suddenly make us trusting. That's up to us. We have to do it. Again, that's why that great commandment says we got to keep thinking in all those different ways. How am I giving over everything to God? How am I loving God completely and fully? What am I keeping back? And what do I need to do in my life to shake things up, to get out of my comfortable life, to perhaps go further than I thought I could do, go, so that I could be truly generous? And of course, we hear from the saints, we hear from Scripture, that the more we give, the more we receive. But do we believe that? Or do we think, yeah, I'll get some nice graces and it'll be in my heavenly treasure account, that sort of thing. But here and now, no, I don't expect anything. Well, that's not what God says to us. God is always loving and supportive. And one of the ways he is supportive and loving is through you and me, because we're called to be God to one another, to help one another in our need. So there's so many depths to these stories that, again, we hear them so often, but do we allow them to get into our bodies, into our hearts, into our minds, and make us uncomfortable? It's good. It's good to be uncomfortable with that, because Jesus says, well, number one, we're totally dependent on God, right? Totally dependent on God. Number two, everything that we have, everything that we are, belongs to God to begin with. So when I say, I give my money to this organization, it's really God's money. I'm just taking it and redistributing it. But that's what we're told, and God says, trust me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am your extraordinary, amazing food that will bring you into eternity. And so we're supposed to be wrestling with this. So how do we compare ourselves to the widow? And I think it's a good example of how we might talk about that among ourselves. And to be honest, to say, you know, I hold back here, I hold back there, I judge people. People I meet on the street that ask for help, I don't even smile at them because maybe they'll threaten me, so forth and so on. We have so many reasons, excuses, not to be like the widow. And yet Jesus points her out to say, here's an example of a person who fully loves God, who fully trusts in God, who has a deep faith in God. Think about it. Think about where you are on your journey and do something about it. So Scripture's filled with stories like that, not to make us feel bad per se, but that's not a bad thing, but to say we can always go farther, and we can do it as a community. if the community got together and said, okay, we're all going to ratchet up our donations by, let's say, 2% this coming year. I mean, what a great conversation we could have. And then a year later say, well, you know, it didn't suffer at all from that. I'm going to give another 2%. And then maybe read about how some evangelical churches, people give 10% of their gross income right off the bat, not even a question, because they truly believe that it all belongs to God. And so they want to use these gifts from God to say to God, God, I love you, I have faith in you, I trust in you. So as you go forth today, think about that widow. What a wonderful example. It's too bad we don't know her name, or there's no stained glass window with her face in it. Should be. But she's an example of who we are called to be as followers of Christ, giving up everything. And really, we're not really giving up anything. We're really simply saying, I want to accept everything, God. In order to do that, I got to get rid of the stuff in my hands and my heart and my mind so that I can get more of you in there. So just like the widow, we're called to constantly go forward, to do greater things, to surprise ourselves, to surprise one another, so that we can truly grow in our faith, truly grow in our trust in God, so that nothing can get in the way of our focus on Christ. Nothing can make us afraid. Nothing can discourage us, because we know Jesus is everything. And if we have Jesus, we have everything.